Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. I hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed all the funny faces I was making at you, because I was. They were fun. I hope you liked it. And if you didn't see the videos, well, I don't think you're missing that much, honestly. But anyways, there we go. Welcome to the Pleasure Zone. We are deep into our 12th year. Well, we're actually 3 weeks into the 12th year of the Pleasure Zone. The 12th year, third week of the 12th year of the Pleasure Zone. How cool is that? It's kind of remarkable to me, guys, because honestly, when I first started this show, I was like, I might have like 8 shows under my belt, maybe, with guests included. So if you go back, you're going to realize that like my first 8 shows were all guests, because I'm like, I don't have enough information. But the beautiful thing about having all those guests on when I first started was they opened my brain to things I had never even known existed. In my first year, I think it was the first year, I interviewed a lady who was a masturbation coach. Blew my mind that you could actually coach people in masturbation for a living. I met people who were part of a group that masturbate people for their health. I met a woman who, she doesn't do this work anymore, but she used to work with people who were aging specifically as like a sex surrogate. I met some of the coolest people doing the coolest sex work I've ever even heard about. Didn't even know this stuff existed. So this show has been such an invitation to learning so much that I would not have ever had the chance to tap into. So I'm ever so grateful for all the people who have ever been on this show, added to my life completely. It's been great. Recently had a guest last week, a fantastic show if you didn't listen to it, all about hypnosis and erectile dysfunction. If you missed that, go back and listen to it, whether you have a penis or not. It's just good info. So today we're talking about horny or not. Does it matter? Like, we make this horniness very, very important. If you're not horny, there's a problem. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't, and we do need to look at things like if you've had a dynamic sex drive most of your adult life, and then all of a sudden it's gone. We need to look at certain factors about why that is, and we will get into that. But if you've never had a sex drive, that's actually okay. Like, you just might be a person who doesn't feel compelled to have sex. Some people are asexual, and it takes a lot for them to be able to feel turned on or the desire for connection. And some never even have the desire for sex at all of any kind. And some have that desire, but it's so not significant at all to them. Not the way it might be to somebody with that would identify more as like a sexual person rather than asexual. Even somebody that's demisexual would have more turn on than somebody who's asexual. If you're not sure what these terms mean, I have talked about these before. Asexuality, sometimes people define it as like the lack of sex drive, but that's actually kind of a misnomer. It's more nuanced than that. You just might not have a lot of sex drive, or the same way that somebody who's, you know, getting on the Tinder and screwing everybody under the sun kind of sex drive. And demisexual is more when you need to get to know a person and you get to, you actually need to be connected to them before feeling like you want to have any kind of intimacy with them. So I don't know about you, but I do think that as we change and grow and age and stuff, that those things can start to change in our lives too. I would say that like maybe in my 20s, I was just like ready to hump anything that walked, maybe. And then some shit happened, and then I didn't feel that anymore. And then I went through, like, it was traumatizing. And so then I kind of like shut that off. But prior to that, I was just like walking around with like a peace, love, and have sex with the world kind of attitude. And then, yeah, reality shifted because my body ended up having trauma. So that shifted, and then it shifted for a while. And then it's like sometimes I actually wonder, where does my where how would I define myself sexually? And I do still think that I would define myself more sapiosexual, where I'm attracted to somebody's mind, and when they like turn me on mentally, I'm like, whoa, over, like that's it. That could climax right there with intelligence. That's very possible. But today we're talking about, are you horny or are you not horny, and is it okay? Because it is it some is it problematic? Is it problematic for you? Is it problematic for the person you're with? The thing is, if it's not a problem for you, and you're like, I'm good with the way I am, then that's really good. And that's a whole other thing. It's like, you're good with the way you are. If other people have problems with that, that's for them to deal with. However, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you've known forever that you don't have, like, you're not like the horniest beast going, and this person that you're with knows that about you, but they're trying to change you to become a horny beast, that's not fair at all to you. So if you know who you are and you know that that's not your thing, just acknowledge it. And it might actually create a bit of an issue in the relationship if you know that about you, and somebody's trying all the time to get you going. You just might not be that kind of a horny person, and that's not wrong. If you were, though, and something's changed, like for me, where I was like super horny and then it changed, trauma affected that. Aging has affected that, although in a little different way. Just the desire of like what I want has changed. All that can change in time, right? We're not that stagnant when it comes to energy, and sexual energy is in that category too. So we're not really that stagnant. We can be for long periods of time, for sure, but sometimes it will change. And sometimes it never changes, and that's okay too. And that we're talking more about desire. We're not talking about how we identify sexually necessarily, like who you your preferences are for, what body types your preferences are for. That's usually kind of there. It's just sometimes you don't even know it, because maybe culturally you haven't been allowed to explore different things. That's a conversation for another day. But we are talking about, are you horny? Are you? And what does that even mean? Like, I'm horny. Like, some people think if you're horny, you're supposed to be like horny all day long and like masturbating when it's inappropriate. Like me, right? Masturbating right now while I'm on the show. No, that's inappropriate. Like, when some people are that horny, it's actually problematic that they have that much sex drive, that their body is that dysregulated, that they need to find a way to let that go. And they need to release that energy. That's a lot of energy. That's also a lot of energy that could be utilized for other things, maybe building stuff, creation, anything that would be under the realm of creativity. And when you have put a lot of energy into things like work and creativity, you can still be horny, but then you might not just have that thing where you're, like a chronic masturbator 24 times a day, like every hour on the hour. I say that because I know somebody who told me a story about a friend of theirs who like masturbates 18 times a day. I'm like, does dude get anything done? Like, I don't know, this is something that he should necessarily brag about. And also, if he's using porn all the time, that's called an addiction. So I brought that up. I've never heard any more about that after, but that kind of level of addiction needs to be addressed just the same way that like being addicted to cocaine would need to be addressed, or and any kind of thing, right? So if you have an addiction to porn and you're masturbating 18 times a day, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're horny. It could mean that you're completely dysregulated and you're an addict. So we need to know the difference. Are you super horny? Are you an addict? Are you just trying to get your rocks off? Are you trying to like regulate your body through sex? Because that happens too. Are you highly regulated? Is your body regulated and you're like, you know what? I am attracted to the person I'm with. I am attracted to people in general. I do feel that desire, inclination and desire to actually have connection and intimacy, physical intimacy that way. Yeah, there might be that, and it might be at a like a few times a week kind of sensation, or a couple times a day kind of sensation, but not necessarily like every hour where it's taking over your life and interfering with your life. And normal for one person is not normal for another person. So let's just be really clear on that, because it's all very personal. Like, there's no research that will tell you what the normal amount of horny is. What we can tell is, are your hormones in like range of normal ranges, right? So is your testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, like all these ones that will impact, and also your happy hormones, like are they all kind of in a place that would have you feel like you want to connect with somebody, like you want to have sex with somebody? After checking all that stuff, if that stuff is all like in the normal range and you're still going, I feel nothing, you might not feel not, you just might not have been around somebody who sparks your interest. And you might be thinking of horny as in, I saw a body and I wanted to get down and dirty with that body because of the way it looks. And for some people, it is absolutely the way it looks is the turn on. Speaking as somebody who identifies as sapiosexual, it's the mind. And like one of the craziest, sexy things my husband ever said to me was like, he was quoting stats during sex once, and it was like when we first met, and I was like, you're freaking nuts. I love this. You're quoting stats to me in the middle of sex. Like, how sexy are you? I didn't really have a word for where I was at with that sexually either. So I was like, I don't know, I'm like into it. I don't know how to describe this. I didn't even have the show yet, right? So I wasn't like doing massive research and figuring out these words that I hadn't really come across before. And then I realized it's like, yeah, probably if he read to me like blueprints or something, or showed me blueprints of something that he drew, I'd be like, damn. Like when he did show me blueprints once, I was like, damn, that's a sexy blueprint, my friend. I love your brain. Good job. So you never know how it's going to come across. So don't assume too that horniness has to do with you see something and you're turned on. Like you see porn and you're turned on. Not necessarily. I see porn, I'm not turned on. I don't find porn attractive. I don't find the there's like no energy behind it. It's like watching somebody, I don't know, fold laundry, which could be sexy if they're doing like an amazing job and folding something uniquely interesting. That could be mo actually more interesting than watching porn to me. So it just depends on your brain and what gets you going and what you find satisfying, right? So what gets you interested? What gets your body feeling alive? That's kind of where we're at with like, if you don't feel horny, that's actually it's okay. As long as you have something that helps you feel alive in life, and as long as you've got something that helps you bring joy to your life and your body, because without that, you're going to fall into a lot of things like depression, disconnection, and different things for you where you might not even feel motivated to be alive, might not feel motivated for anything. So as long as you feel like there is something that sparks your joy and gets you going every day, that's cool, right? When we start to look at things where maybe you've got really low levels of different hormones that would indicate that you might be in depression, then we need to kind of balance these things out. We need to bring you back into a place where you can feel joy, feel anything, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to feel horny, but it's certainly helpful to help you feel something. I've been in places in my life and spaces in my life where it's like I'm numb, and there's nothing worse for me than feeling numb. I would rather feel anger or sadness or joy than numb. Numb for me is like, that is not a good place for me. Frustration is even a better place for me than numb. I'd rather be frustrated than numb. Numb means for me that I don't care. I don't have any desire to be alive or anything like that. And it's not fun. It's not fun for me. I don't know about you guys. Some people don't mind the nothingness feeling, the no emotion feeling. It's not for me. I don't like it. But for some people, they thrive in that. It's kind of like no feeling zone. And if you're good with that no feeling zone, then that's cool. If you'd rather not feel happy or sad and you just like, I want to be, it's not even Zen, because Zen has like a level of happiness to it, joy to it. It's like nothingness. And if you're good with that, that's cool. But if you're not and you want to shift it, then I think you need to start to just even see, is there something going on? Is there something biochemically off? I went on a little bit of a sidetrack, guys, but that's what I do here on the Pleasure Zone, where I talk about all things bodies, sex, intimacy. Been doing it for years and will keep on doing it for many years to go. I'm coming up to my first commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are brand spanking new to this show, then you might not know that I recently wrote a book called The Pleasure Zone. It is a guide for curious pleasure seekers. It's a could be a quick read, but it's also a dive, because you can dive deep into this book. There's a lot of exercises you can do, questions, self-reflection, and then there's a bunch of free resources you can get as well. And I'm happy to say that this book did go bestseller for several days, actually, on Amazon. So that was really cool. And you can still buy it. So go do that if you haven't bought it yet. I'd love for that to happen. On today's episode, we are talking all about horny or not, does it matter? And to be frank, the only time it matters is when you have had a fairly steady sex drive most of your life, and then something stops that. And if that something that stopped it is not trauma based, and you're like, no, there were no traumas, physical, mental, spiritual, you know, it wasn't like a loss of a partner, or there wasn't like a loss of a job or financial stresses or anything like that. Like everything was just kind of maintaining the same. And then all of a sudden there's a loss of sex drive. And even if you're like, well, but I already went through menopause and I was horny, and then now I have no sex drive, that's when I want to look at what's going on. Because what's going on could then be physiological. There are things you want to look at. So for people with penises, you might want to look at, is there a heart condition? Do you have clogged arteries? Is there something going on physiologically that's actually preventing you from being able to have an erection. So this is when your level of horniness can actually be a sign for you to go and get things checked medically. Yeah. And that is also true for vulva owners. You know, if you have a vulva and you've been horny most of your life and nothing else has changed, just know that if you do have a vulva, your hormones are going to fluctuate more than penis havers will. So if you've got a vulva and your hormones have been fluctuating, but then all of a sudden they were like, oh, you know what? Now they're kind of regulated for a while and you seem to have no sex drive. There could be things going on. There could be many things going on, and they can also be physiological as well. And so you might want to check that out. I'd always want to check out my heart rate because it is part of how we pump the blood through our system and be able to bring the blood to our sex organs in order for that, you know, the swelling, the arousal swelling to occur. And I would also want to check out nerves to see if there's been any nerve damage that happened, and you might not even realize that it happened. So there's a few things I'd want to have checked out if I were in your shoes, where if you were horny most of your life and then all of a sudden it's gone and there's been no other factors involved, get that checked. Now, if there are other factors involved, which can happen, some of those factors, like I was mentioning before, could be things like physical, sexual, spiritual, financial, relational traumas. If those things have occurred, you know, things like deaths, separations, all of that, violation to your body, that can have a massive impact on your arousal. I wouldn't expect that after those kinds of scenarios happen, that you would just be ready to go up, ready and roaring to just get back on the horse. Some people will use sex as a means to heal, because that is, again, like they're using sex as a regulating tool. Which, if the person that you're with, that you're having the sex with, knows that, you know, I actually require this to help me heal, that's fair. But if you just keep on using them without their knowledge, it's kind of not fair to them. So it is good to let them know. Just kind of like when I let my husband know, like, hey, hun, when we're having sex today, can we have this be focused on A, B, C, or D? And he'll just laugh at me. He's like, okay, direct your orgasm, honey, direct your orgasm at creation of A, B, C, and D. I don't ask him to do that very often because he is a magical beast, but I have asked him on occasion, and I find it fun. I find it more fun because it's like we have target, like we have, it's more than just, you know, arousal. It's more than just like feeling sexual and connected. It's like we've got a mission and we've got a magic mission and we're doing this magic mission together. And I like the idea of having a magic mission together. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, now that you guys know that I have a book, in case you didn't know, go get my book. Thank you. We want to talk a little bit about why desire and arousal don't always happen at the same time. So what is desire? And so sexual desire is where you're feeling like it's a mental and emotional state where you feel like attracted to something and you have this motivation for like wanting to have it. Want is such a weird word though. You have this, it is desire. It's like, this is what I would like. Yes, I'm a yes to this. And it's like a yes to engaging in sexual activity. It's a yes to having pleasure. It's a yes to release, physical release, emotional connection, all these things, right? So that the difference between desire and arousal can be vastly different. You can desire something, but your body might not respond. Your body also might respond when you don't desire something. It goes both ways, by the way. So there can be quite a disparity there. So when you're horny, if you're wondering, why am I not horny, but I love my partner? Again, it could be that the arousal parts of your body, the physiological and neurological reactions, are just your body's not getting stimulated by them. Or maybe there has been trauma, so your body can't react maybe nerve endings have been cut so your body can't react physically. Maybe there's been trauma where it was sexual trauma and you have absolute like recoil and your body doesn't react either because maybe you feel like your body betrayed you. And it's like, why did my body get aroused when I felt no to all of that? Why did my body get aroused? And then all of a sudden you'll feel like your body's betrayed you, but your body didn't betray you. Your body will respond to stimuli. And sometimes it'll come to a place of burnout where your body doesn't even respond to stimuli and it just goes into a zero reaction, right? So responding to stimuli doesn't necessarily even mean that there's desire. It just means you're responding to stimuli. And desire doesn't mean that you can respond to stimuli. So when we look at horniness is more like in the desire field. Does it mean that your body can react to that? Not necessarily. So if you are horny and you have desire, right? And you're frustrated because you're like, well, my body is not reacting. The number one thing I recommend, and this is old info, guys. This is stuff that was written about in different sexual experts from the 60s would write about this, like Masters and Johnson. Take sex off the table is the number one thing that they would have said to do. Take the penetration aspect off the table. And then now, as we're like getting more and more into understanding connection and how the nervous system works, and every day there's more information out there, like researchers are constantly working on things. So now we know that in order to feel connected, deeply connected to somebody, your body needs to be calm, right? So it needs to be in a state where your nervous system is not in fight or flight and it's not in freeze. So you're not in sympathetic dominance you're not in parasympathetic dominance. So your body is calm. Then you can connect. And then you can start to play from there to be able to experiment and see like what actually comes up as an interesting thing. Maybe for that moment, it's just being in each other's presence. Maybe you haven't had the time to just be present with each other for like 5 minutes. So sometimes arousal will come from not what you expect. Sometimes desire will also come from not what you expect. And sometimes there is no desire. You've just never felt horny your whole life. And that's okay. There's n absolutely nothing wrong with you. Everybody has a different arousal level of response, and some people just don't have it. And that is just another form of expression of sexuality, is the lack thereof of desire to have sex. Doesn't mean there's a lack of desire for connection. A lot of times, those people who would identify as asexual actually deeply desire deep connections to people. And they just don't want to necessarily have sexual connections to people. So, holy smokes. I don't know where like the time flies when I'm babbling a lot. So sorry, guys. So we're talking about the difference. I just wanted to give you guys like why. The kind of understanding of like why desire and arousal don't always happen at the same time. They're not in the same parts of the brain, for one. They also require different stimuli to have them activated. So, because desire is mostly mental and emotional, you need to sometimes just feel like everything's okay and safe to feel attracted to somebody. Or desire can also be, we can throw it on the other spectrum of kink, where it's like you have desire because maybe you want a spanking and maybe you're really into sub and dom play. And so, but it's the desire, the choice, the drive to be able to have this connection and all this like sexual play and activity. Sexual desire and sexual arousal they're just not the same thing. And so, is it okay to not have desire? Yes, it's okay not to have desire. At what point is it that you need to go and seek medical help? I would say that if you've had chronic pain during sex, seek medical help. If you've had desire prior and you have no desire at this time, it's a good time to seek medical advice. Maybe there's some testing that can be done. I'd also recommend, highly recommend, going to see somebody like me who's like either a sex therapist or a sex and intimacy coach. That's actually what my title is, a sex and intimacy coach and relationship coach. And maybe you just want to be able to find some new ways to connect, because maybe you're just done with the same old, same old. So you've lost your horniness because it's boring, or you lack connection, you lack communication, you lack consent, maybe you lack curiosity, maybe all those C's are missing and you need to bring them back into your life, or maybe they never existed and so it waned really fast. And so we need to bring it back. If that's something you want, if that's something you're really looking forward to having in your life, is horniness, there are a lot of different things that you can do to bring it back if you've had it. If you've never had it, that just might be the way you are. You can get testing anyway as well, because you might find that there you have low level of hormones in different ways. And if you have had issues with arousal, that's like a little bit of a different situation. So all of those, though, are really helpful to have conversations about and see where you stand and see what you need to do and move forward. So whether you go to the doctor, whether you go to a sex and intimacy coach, which, by the way, you can connect with me for free for 15 minutes. Everybody gets to have that. I do keep track, so I don't do that twice, just once. Anyhow, yeah, you can do that. I'm going to head to my next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about horny or not, does it matter? And I think there's a lot of judgment towards people who don't necessarily feel horny all the time. And I get that. I get that I was probably one of those people who were confused about other people not feeling horny all the time until I was that person. And I was like, I'm not feeling this. Like right after I had my daughter, I was so utterly disgusted by my partner's lack of helping me and his inability to stay sober. That's not my husband, by the way. My husband is not the biological donor to my child, but the person who was the biological donor literally did nothing, spent all my money for the most part and his own, and then went on to be completely and utterly useless. And then by week six of my child's life, he went off and went on a drinking binge for several months, causing havoc around the area. So there was nothing about that that made me go, wow, that's sexy. None of that was sexy. My lack of desire pissed him off because he was like, why don't you want to blah, blah, blah? And for one, the doctors say to wait months, which thank God for that. But also, there was no desire because as a human being, he just disgusted me. The fact that he was so utterly useless, which made him to me seem really dumb. And the dumbness really didn't work for me. So that's that. And oh, how I wish I could say names without not getting in trouble for that. But I won't. I won't say names, just to warn anybody out there ever who tries to go for that such scenario ever again. But anyway, good times. So, what are we looking at? Yeah, what I was just talking about when I was the least horniest in my life. Yeah, least horniest was after I had my child, and that happens. So it can happen that different things that go on can affect your level of sexual desire. That's nothing wrong with that. You probably are self-protecting. That's probably self-protecting because God knows I did not want to have another child with that person. So my body was like a hell no to sex with that person. And then I met my partner, who's now my husband, and a complete flip of like horny all the time. And it's like, but the beauty is I know we can't actually have kids so together. So my husband isn't able to have kids, and there's something about that that just makes it even more fun because it's like, wow, I don't have any baby consequences involved here. That makes it great. It makes it even more fun. So that leads me to spontaneous desire versus responsive desire, and they are different. So spontaneous desire is like when you just feel the urge. And you just go for it and just strikes you out of nowhere. You could just be in the middle of, say, gardening and be like, oh my God, I feel super horny. And it just comes out of nowhere. That's not that common, by the way. And it is something that happens. Usually something inspires it, or that your body is responding to something. So responsive desire is where most people land, where spontaneous desire is rare. Responsive desire is much more common, and it has to do with responding to different things. So means that your body is responding to whether it's stimuli in the environment or the person or feeling intimate, whether there's touch or emotional connection. And for a lot of times it's like your body is responding through touch and saying, yeah, I'm ready. My body is aroused. Thank you so much. Responsive desire, responsive arousal. Responsive desire, as the arousal might kick in the desire, or the desire might kick in the arousal, vice versa. But it's responding to something. It could be any of the five love languages as well that you could be responding to. You could be responding to somebody giving you gifts or words of affirmation, quality time, touch. It could be any of those, right? Being responsive to somebody doing acts of service, like they just took out the garbage and you're like, yeah, that is sexy that you are an adult and nobody has to tell you to take out the garbage. Sexy. So yeah, those things can help with desire responses for sure. So spontaneous desire versus responsive desire. I had something else on that list. I'm just gonna peep over here. Versus, yes, we got spontaneous desire, responsive desire, and then like there's this like pure, genuine interest in intimacy. And like you might have genuine interest in intimacy, and that does not include physically having sex with the person. We're talking about genuine intimacy as in seeing how much connection you can create with that person. And it's like being super curious about what are all the ways we can connect. This is where things like Neo Tantra can really come in handy, where you can play with different tools, where you can connect with people, learning how to breathe in sync, looking at each other longingly. Those Neo Tantra practices can be really helpful for that. So Genuine interest would mean that you genuinely care about the person. You are interested in not just sex with them, but you're interested in who they are as a person and how they feel. And, that's a fantastic thing to have, is the genuine interest. Responsive desire can absolutely happen, and it's great. You can have genuine interest and have responsive desire. You can also have genuine interest and spontaneous desire. Again, not as common, but it's fun to be able to tap into spontaneous desire at times, for sure. As long as your partner is consensual with that, consenting to that experience, then it's fun for both people. But if your partner's like, yeah, I'm not into this spontaneity here, then or just, out of the blue, you're doing dishes and then somebody pulls your pants down and decides they're having sex with you. Well, it would be nice to be given some warning and to be able to consent to that. That would be great, in my opinion. I like consent. I find it sexy. Consent is sexy. That's all I have to say about that. So, what else? What else? What else? I'm a little sweaty, guys, just FYI. My office is like a sweat zone. And so I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and I don't know if it's the topic or if it's like just me in my office feeling it, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling kind of like sweat bombed right now. And, that's cool. So, in this talking about horny or not, the big question to me is like, how do we make it okay for people who don't feel horny? How do we make it okay for them so that they don't judge themselves? And I think the number one thing to know is that a lot of things that you're going to hear out on in the planet on social media about how many times to have sex with your partner is considered like normal, how many times that is a week or a month or whatever is considered normal, is all based on subsets of society that are willing to actually go for research about their sex lives. This is not going to be like, this is not a sample group that's a huge, huge sample group. They're not asking us this when we're doing, when we're doing our census or something, is like, how often do you have sex? I don't know. I didn't have that question on my census this year. Can you imagine? And this is how we figure out how many times Canadians have sex on the census. And then everybody in the house has a different answer, which would be even funnier. So I think the main thing, when I picked this topic, the main thing was I felt like I really wanted to help the people who don't necessarily feel horny. I wanted to let them know that it's okay not to feel horny. I also wanted them to know that there are times when it is important to go out and find out if there is any kind of health issues that you need to look at. So if you do have those health issues, where I would say the first thing to do is just check in with yourself and kind of for like a month or two, do a bit of a like observe yourself and see like, are there any times where you feel horny? Is it in conjunction with anything? Like, did something happen where maybe your paycheck came in and then you felt like, ooh, money, and now I feel horny? Or was it like your partner did something that was really kind for you and you're like, oh, that makes me feel connected and horny? So those kinds of things, tracking that can be really helpful, because you might realize that there are like moments, blips where you have horniness, and it's just a matter of if that's true, then you can increase those frequencies of those things. Sometimes the paycheck thing's tricky, but if you're self-employed, you can get more clients and stuff like that. So depending on what turns your crank, gets you going, if you can observe that, and then you can increase that, that's great. If you've never had it, that's again a different scenario. But if you've had it and you're like, where did it go? Track it, see if it ever shows up in a month or two. If it doesn't seem to show up at all, if nothing seems to turn you on at all, not even remotely in a month or two, I would definitely get that checked and just see, is there anything going on hormonally? Is there anything going on with your heart? Is there anything, just get the whole gamut of tests run. And it's not because horniness is the most important thing in the world. It's because it can indicate other things going on. Like lack of sex drive can indicate heart issues sometimes. It can indicate neurological damage. It can indicate a lot of things. So you want to get that checked if it's prolonged and if you don't seem to see any like moments of desire that pop in. So if you do have those moments of horniness and desire, then that's great. You can increase those. But if you don't have any, then you definitely want to get that checked out because your health is important. So we're going to head to our next and last commercial break. You can go pick up my book, The Pleasure Zone, A Guide for Curious Pleasure Seekers, over on Amazon. Thank you. While we head to this commercial break, you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Had a great question in the chat. You have a chat room, by the way, if you didn't know that, on Inspired Choices Network. If you go over to the website, Inspired Choices Network, when our shows are live, you can pop into the chat room and ask questions, and then I will reflect upon those for you. So one of the questions that was popped into the chat room is, what about women who get extra horny during menopause? I think there's a few reasons for that. So some women say they have a lack of desire completely, but the ones who do get horny during menopause, I'd say, is because their hormones actually might be more regulated. They might have increased testosterone going on compared to other women going through menopause. But the threat of not being pregnant, I find in my life, the threat of not getting pregnant makes me really horny. The threat of pregnancy is like a, I don't know, it's like a libido killer for me. So whenever I thought I could get pregnant, I was like, ugh. And as soon as like my husband entered my life and I was like, the chances of getting pregnant are so beyond slim, like one in a trillion, that I'm good. I'm so good. And it's like, woohoo, there's no like pressure. And so for a lot of, I would say for a lot of women's, for a lot of us vulva owners who have uteruses as well, who might have the threat of getting pregnant, that might diminish your sex drive because at a certain age, you're just like, I do not want a child, done deal. Right. And the fact that you know, for some of us who haven't gone through menopause yet, which I have not, and I'm 51, the fact that I haven't gone through menopause yet and might not go through menopause till I'm like 60, like the rest of my family did on my mom's side, the fact that that's the truth, that I could be getting pregnant for that long, I do not want a child when I'm like 55 years old. So I am like so grateful that I don't have the chance of having children. As much as I love babies and they're fun and they're great, and especially other people's babies, and I can hand them back, that's super fun. So if you are a woman in your, you know, menopausal years and you're feeling horny, heck yeah, you are, because you can't have, chances are, it's because it's wired into our brains, we know you can't have a baby, and now there's no threat of that. Sex is all fun now, with the only consequences you could have are maybe STDs, STIs. And if you're with somebody that you trust that's safe, you're going to get even more horny because you're like, there are no consequences. It's just love. It's just the good stuff. It's all the good stuff. So how would we not want to choose into more of the good stuff when there's no threat of having any of those like crazy ass consequences? So, yeah, what would I say to the women who are menopausal and super horny? I'd say, yeehaw, good for you. You're also probably not, masturbating your life away and like wasting your life and ignoring business calls or destroying your business or destroying your job due to the fact you're so horny you're masturbating all the time. Again, if you are masturbating all the time as a postmenopausal woman, like as long as it's not interfering with your job, your life, your relationships, and you haven't secluded yourself, sequestered yourself in your house, and you're like, I must masturbate 24/7. No, I mean, I do know somebody who is like a pro masturbator for her birthday. She masturbates, she gives herself an orgasm for every year she's alive, and she's like a year or two older than me. So she's been hitting like 52 orgasms on her birthday. I think I'm 53 now. I think she's going to be 53. So, but that's her own target. Like she doesn't, it's not like her daily target where she's like, I must do this every day. But also she, it's part of her profession. She's a pro dom. So having great sex in her life is, part of her life. So as long as it doesn't interfere and it's not like an addiction, you're good. And if you are finding that you are getting hornier and hornier as you get older, it also could be because you're feeling more connected and more trusting of your partner. So a lot of times it's all those elements of intimacy that come into play where, trusting somebody, having good communication, knowing that, trusting you about trusting them is really important. And like the love is deeper and the way that you're connecting is also deeper. All of those factor into how responsive you're going to be, how the responsive desire can also become far greater. And also the spontaneous desire might start to kick in because the consequences of pregnancy are not there. So for men going through andropause, it might be very different. It might actually drop because a lot of the male drive is for procreation, even when it's like men having sex with men, there's still like an innate thing of I must sow my seed wherever it happens to be sowing the seed to. There's like a really base instinctual drive. But when that drive is kind of gone away and it can also diminish for men as they get older. Sometimes men get into, or penis havers anyway, get into this mode where it's like if the erection isn't the same as it was, and there's like self-judgment that goes on. So just so you know, the angle of the dangle does change with age. So the angle of the dangle in like your 20s, it might have, the dangle like going shooting way up like a skyrocket towards the sky. And as you age, the angle of the dangle, it starts to come down to the horizon like around the age of 40. And as the 50s and 60s come in, it slightly goes down. And men in their like later years, even 80s and 90s, they could have an erection that isn't completely like hard, but they're aroused and the angle of the dangle is almost negligible. Like you can't even really tell if they're turned on or not. But that is the angle of the dangle changes. It's just part of it, but you can actually take care of that. And you can enhance that. It's like strengthening exercises you can use. Different like kind of weightlifting things you can do. And that's a conversation for a whole other day, which I have talked about on this show several times. So what did we learn today, kids? We learned that it's okay not to be horny. It's okay as long as it's not a risk to your health. And you might not be horny for many reasons. Maybe you just had a kid and you're not horny. Maybe your partner just cheated on you and you're not interested. Maybe they're just a dick and you're just not interested. Maybe she's a bitch and you're not interested. Whatever it happens to be, there's probably a factor that's coming into that.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.